Hey there, beautiful faces. It's me, Sunny. And today is Friday, October 28th, 29, 30, 31. We are 3 days away from October being completed. And it's hello, November. I'm telling you, these days are flying by. This year has gone by. It has flown by. And we definitely need to make these days count. And however you're able to slow your days down, just to be present in the moment, try to do that as much as you can. So I have quite a few things to talk about today. This is sort of like a Freestyle Friday, where I am going to talk about several subjects, topics, current affairs, everything that's going on. Yes, I am going to talk about poor little Kanye. I really feel sorry for him at this point. I am going to talk about Cotton Owens, and you should know who I'm talking about. I just don't really want to roll her name off my tongue because I'm just so done and done with this lady. We are going to talk about the election, the midterm election, which takes place November 8th, I think it is. And we are currently in early voting, so definitely going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some pop culture. We're going to talk about some information with some of these politicians, politricksters, that's what I call them. So we're going to talk about that, and then a few other things that, you know, I have on my list to share with you guys, and hopefully I can get some feedback. I have been on Anchor for quite a while, and honestly, I'm not really sure if this platform is for me in terms of me getting my voice across, my point of view, my audience, my target audience, my traffic, all of that. I don't really see it. I just don't see it. So I'm going to continue this year out. And I got to blame myself too, because I'm not as consistent as I should be, just to see how this platform really generates an audience and how it can help you build, you know, your target audience in the masses and in the numbers. So I can also blame myself. So I am going to be more consistent. And I said this a couple times before, but it's something that I am going to do to see if Anchor is the platform for me. I also do a live podcast show on my Instagram under Sunny Morrison. And I spell Sunny, S-U-N-N-I-E, Morrison with two R's, one S. And I get a lot of traction. I get a lot of audience to tune in. And I do it every Tuesday because it's Talk About It Tuesdays with Sunny Morrison. And I bring on different guests. And we talk about whatever it is that they want to talk about. And I chime in and say what I say about what they want to talk about. And then I throw in my 2 cents. And they throw in their 3 cents. And then we have 5 cents. And then we just have a whole conversation. But yeah, I just want to throw that out there about this platform. So while I say that, I'm going to segue into saying that be sure to follow me on Instagram at Sunny Morrison to tune in every Tuesday for Talk About It Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then also follow me on YouTube. It's Sunny Morrison. I don't have the URL yet, but you can search Sunny Morrison, Talk About It, or Talk About It with Sunny Morrison. Something like that, but it'll pop up. But anyway, so let's get into everything that I want to talk about today. It's so much. It's in no particular order. So first thing I'm going to speak about is, I don't know if you all have heard that Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck has split. And they are no longer living in the same house. I really don't understand what is going on with Jennifer Lopez. I really want to know if she is giving herself time enough to be alone so that she can be married to herself, or she can date herself and love herself, because it's just too much of repeated repetition behavior, the same thing in every relationship, every single relationship. She's in and out, in and out, in and out, and she's really not giving herself the time she needs to unplug, recharge, relax, relate, release, and then reconnect to try to at least be one with herself and then be able to meet someone new. But she bounces out of one relationship and she goes right into another one. She was just engaged to, what is that baseball guy name? You all know who I'm talking about, A-Rod or something like that. She was engaged to be married to him, broke it off with him for whatever reason, cheating scandal, I don't know, I didn't dig that deep, but whatever the reason was, she left him and then probably was off for maybe 2 weeks, and then it was announced that she was engaged, well, not engaged, she was dating Ben Affleck. So she went back in the past and started dating someone that she was dating back in the 2000 era. And then Ben Affleck is someone that she needed to really think that if she should be dating him, when he was having issues with his wife, with alcohol issues, abuse, and just all over the place, a hot mess. And then here she comes. She goes and start dating him again, and then they ended up getting engaged, and then they're married. They haven't been married, I don't think, 3 months or 6 months. They just recently got married. So I'm going to quickly go through what I found online, and it says, let me see, they got engaged again, having been a couple in the early 2000s, as I mentioned, and soon after getting married, but within a short period of time after saying yes for Jennifer and Ben, the conflicts began. What's going on? That's my question. The Bronx diva, Jennifer Lopez, and the director of Argo, Ben Affleck, are not living together under the same roof in their mansion because of numerous conflicts and differences that have lived in recent weeks. So I really don't know, because me digging deep and trying to find out what really happened, it doesn't really say on here what were some of the conflict differences. But from what I read in the past, that she can be very difficult with certain things that she wants, I guess, done, or how things should be done in the house. I don't know. I'm just going by what I read and what I research. But no, they're not together. They have split, and I don't know if they are going to like split with a possibility of getting back together, or they're going to split with the possibility of divorce. And if that's the case, I really want Jennifer Lopez to take the rest of her life to focus on herself, to heal her heart, her pain, and whatever it is she's dealing with, where she can't be alone, where she has to be in a relationship with someone. She really needs to seek some form of maybe therapy to talk about what is bothering her, what is causing her to, one, choose these type of men. And I don't really think it's always the man's fault. We're so quick to blame the men all the time, but we really have to start looking at some of these women. Like, why are they in and out of relationships like this? What is going on? But anyway, they're not together. I wanted to bring that up. So the next thing I wanted to quickly talk about, I'm trying to get all of my information here. So that we could, I was going to talk to you guys about Yeah, I was going to talk to you guys about Tom Brady, but I'll come back to him. But I am going to go into Kanye West. I'm just a stickler for sticking behind my people. And honestly, I'm on both sides of the fence because American Black. I'm also American Afro-Latina on my mother's side. But I know how far to support my people when I know that they don't deserve the support that they're asking for. But when it comes to Kanye, I'm actually familiar with the behavior that he's carrying on, and he's acting out, and he's presenting in front of the world, not just America. He's presenting this behavior in front of the world, and he's doing it emotionally. He's trying to grab everyone's attention because of his emotional trauma that he's dealing with. And I'm familiar with this behavior because I deal with it with my son. My son is 31 and he has the same traits, same characteristics, same behavior. When they are emotionally traumatized or emotionally bothered and they don't have a way out, they don't feel like they have anyone to help them, or they don't have the support. It's always about the support. And if they don't feel like they're getting that from anyone, mainly the people that are closest to them, if they're not getting it from the people that are closest to them, then they are going to reach out to people who they feel will support them. And that is maybe their friends or their fans in celebrity cases, or just random people, because they are putting out all of this emotion. It comes off like they are being victimized, and so they tend to do it in a way to try to reel you in emotionally so that you can feel sorry for them or some type of sympathy for them. And then their behavior can then become very aggressive if they don't get that sympathy or that approval or that validation that they're looking for. The only thing Kanye hasn't done yet is actually really go off with, you know, cursing everybody out. He said some things, and they said it's anti-Semitic or whatever you want to call it. I personally don't think what he said was wrong. Now, when he mentioned that the Jews, blacks were the Jews, there are black Jews. Actually, I had my brother who passed. He was practicing Judaism. He's Jewish, and my older sister Jewish. It's a religion. It is not a race, and that is what we need to understand. We identify that community as a race by calling them Jews, but they are Jewish by faith. That's like people identifying black people as Baptists, because most black people, they practice baptism. Or on my Hispanic side, it's more Catholic. With black people, it's also Christian. So you can start identifying black people as Christians or Latin people as Catholic, But when it comes to Israel's or Israelites, we identify them by their faith. So with him saying that, he's getting all this backlash, he's getting all of this hate towards him, when he should have gotten more slander when he was shucking and jiving in front of, that man who was in office last term. And then him saying things anti-black, because he was saying things anti-black. And that's another thing. When he was saying things anti-black, none of those people who have dropped him, none of them said anything to him about him speaking anti-blackness, him speaking things derogatory about black people. None of them said anything negative to him. None of them released him from their contracts. None of them didn't want to do any business with him when he was saying those things about black people. But the minute he said those things about a different faith, then now everybody is dropping him, like just dropping him like flies, left and right. So what I found today, I think this happened yesterday. Yesterday was Thursday, October 27. He went to Skechers to see if Skechers can create, I guess, a business deal. They get together and they do some type of business deal. And he popped up to Skechers uninvited to see if they can work something out. So I'm going to read what I found. Let's see. It says, Kanye West is making a quick move to find a new home for his Yeezy shoes, hitting Skechers headquarters to talk with the company's honchos, but immediately got turned away. Sources familiar with Yeezy's visit tell us he was at the company's main office Wednesday morning in Manhattan Beach, California, but this was not a scheduled meeting with management. Skechers says he arrived unannounced and without invitation of one of Skechers' corporate office in Los Angeles. Considering Kanye was engaged in unauthorized filming, two Skechers executives escorted him and his party from the building after a brief conversation. Now, we don't know if Kanye did his research or not, but Skechers is owned and operated by a Jewish family. Robert Greenberg founded it, and his son, Michael, is currently the president. Considering his rampant anti-Semitism, you could say he barked up the wrong tree. And a spokesperson tells us Skechers is not considering and has no intention of working with West. We condemned his recent decisive remarks and do not tolerate anti-Semitism or any other form of hate speech. Again, West showed up unannounced and uninvited to Skechers' corporate office. Now, I do know he did make some other comments towards the Jewish community. Now, I do know that that could be considered hate speech, but him saying that the black that blacks are the original Jews is not enough for someone to say, I don't want to do business with you. There are black Jews. There are black people that practice the Jewish faith. It also says that we're guessing Kanye's goal was for Skechers to be his new partner for the Yeezy shoe brand, working both as a manufacturer and distributor, as Adidas did before it dropped him this week. So that means he didn't get to talk to anybody at Skechers, so he struck out on that deal on to try to create a deal. So Kanye was also spotted in good spirits at a local bagel shop before his meeting. His smile certainly doesn't look like that of a man out $900 million, a figure reported by Forbes. As we reported, Kanye's anti-Semitic comments were the final straw for several business and professional relationships for Kanye, including Balenciaga, his legal team, and of course, Adidas, who have all dropped him in the last few weeks. So now all of them dropped him because of the comment he made about the Jewish faith or about black people having that Jewish faith. But I do know he did made another comment that can be considered hate speech towards the Jewish faith. But again, my question is, why these same companies who are of Jewish faith didn't say anything to him when he was saying all these negative things about his own people? Is it okay because he's black and it's okay for him to say it about black people? I don't get that. No one says anything about it. And I do know that the Jewish faith community majority of them are in business in the music, are in business in media, are in business in retail. They are predominantly the business owners in these industries, as well as Hollywood. It is what it is. It is plain sight. If you're not paying attention, a lot of times people don't pay attention. But if you look at the movies, you look at the credits, it'll show you who's the screenwriter, who's the director, who's the producer, who's the executive producer, who's this, who's that, who's the cameraman, who's the boom mic person, who's this. It'll list everybody's name. And if you look at the names, it'll show you who is predominantly running what industry. That's just like if you go and you look at this NFL or the NBA. It's not to say you're looking at them to see who's running the NBA or who's the owner of the NBA, but look at the players. That is a predominantly black sport. Okay? Football, basketball, baseball, not so much. There are a few black men in baseball. Even if they are Latin, they're considered, you know, black Latinos. They're also in the baseball. We don't have a predominantly black lineup of golf players. We don't have a predominantly black lineup of hockey players. We don't have a predominantly black lineup of speed drivers, or what is it, Daytona, all, you know, Indy 500, race car drivers. We don't have a predominantly black of that. So it'll show you who is involved, who is predominantly either operating, running, or a part of. And in those industry with retail, the industry in music, okay, concerts, festivals. Here in South Florida, we have this big event called Santa's Enchanted Forest. It is owned and operated by a family that is of Jewish faith. It's what it is. We can't go around that. We can't say it's not what it is, and it is. But then you have another community that is always being targeted, which, since we're calling people by faith, the Baptist Christian community, they're always targeted, and they're always being targeted with anti-black slurs, anti-Semitism. Is it Semitism or Semitism? Semitism. You know what I'm talking about. Always. We're always the target. Always the ones who get it the most. And we don't just get it from outsiders. We get it from each other. That's what makes it the worst. We get it from each other. So yeah, that's what's going on with him right now. He tried to, and I really don't know why he would go to Skechers when he know who the owners are. And honestly, all of this that's going on, y'all got to be very mindful and understand what is happening. We are in the middle of the midterm election. All of these things are to distract you from taking your little behind out there to vote. That's all it's doing. If you think that 2020 catastrophe is over because everybody got rid of Dumpity Dump and got him out of office, trust and believe he is working on something up his sleeves. Him and he's the Pied Piper. So him and all of his kids that's following him, they are working on something up his sleeve. So if you guys think it's all over, it is not. He's constantly having these rallies everywhere. And all of this that's going on with Kanye and Cotton Candy or Cotton Owens, you know, trying to spew all these ideologies and negative narratives and using the Baptist Christian community as the target, as the subject, it always sparks a conversation because we are emotional people. First of all, we are also first of all, we are electrical people, and second of all, we are emotional. So when the electrical gets sparked, the emotions get high. So when you say certain things, that is towards us, we are not going to just turn a deaf ear or a blind eye or a closed nose or a shut mouth. We are going to see what you're doing, hear what you're saying, smell the mess that you're putting out, and we are going to use our mouth to speak about it. That's just who we are as a community. That's who we are as a race. Majority of us are. And so all of this that's happening, it is a distraction for you guys to pay attention and focus on all this BS that's going on with him, all the mess that's going on with Cotton saying all kind of foolishness as she normally does. Because all she does is just speaks like, she just speaks like Porky Pig, an auction moderator who's doing auctions, and just using the thesaurus, just saying the words and using it in different, like saying the same word for the same meaning, but just using a different word for it. And then speaking fast to make you feel like she knows what she's talking about. But you got to understand people like that. You got to pay attention. So that's what's going on with Kanye. I'm really sending some light, manifesting that he pull out of this, and whatever it is that he's trying to do or whatever he's up to, I just really hope that he really doesn't have a meltdown and just, you know, walk away from all the work that he put out, because he's very talented. I love his work. Some of his music can be risque, like all of this music that's going on, and I'm going to talk about that next. But for the most part, he does have some lyrics that you can actually listen to. His music, his melody, everything is great. So first, I want to talk about this election. This is the midterm election. We are in early voting now up until November 6th. Then the election day is November 8th, Tuesday, November 8th. People, early vote. Go vote right now. Vote right now, because they are playing games. They are here doing some little sneaky stuff. I have a colleague, a business colleague, who lives in Georgia. He's 62 years old. Votes every election. Don't miss a beat. He goes to his precinct to vote, and they tells him that he is not on the list. That is not his place to vote. So he's trying to find out, well, why I'm not on the list when this is where I've been assigned all these years. I've been coming here for years. So why all of a sudden I'm not on here? So one of the ladies was trying to explain to him that his name wasn't on the list, blah, blah, blah. Now, another lady, which is a Baptist Christian faith person, she, she went and did some research and came back to tell him that they canceled, whoever they is, canceled his voter's registration card. So he's not even registered. So now what do he do? What can he do? What can he do? So he's asking them, like, who did that? How can they just cancel my registration? How can they cancel my rights to vote? So I notice now they are targeting another certain age group. He's 62. So they are trying to keep a certain age group out, because they know most of the older voters normally vote by mail. So I told him, since you are in Georgia, whoever, you know, I know he was voting, you know, for Stacey Abrams. I told him to go to her office, her campaign office, and let them know what is going on. Because even if you call the voter registration office, all they're probably going to tell him is, right now, you know, it's too late for him to get a mail-in ballot. It's, you know, it's not the time. The deadline has closed. XYZ, all that, whatever excuse they'll come up with for him not to be able to vote. But I told him to do that. And then I also told him, go to social media, Tell your story on social media. Call the news and tell the news what's going on so they can come out there and cover it. Because if you don't say anything, if you don't say something, when you see something, nothing is done. Nothing to be done. So I'll keep you guys updated on that to let you know what happened, if he was able to vote, or, you know, whatever happened to that situation. So that way, if it happens to someone else, you know, someone else will be able to, would know what to do. So that is what's going on. I recommend everybody to go vote early. I don't recommend you to wait. I mean, if you can't go because of your schedule, that's fine. But just make sure you go vote, people, because let me tell you something. It is good versus evil right now. 2020 opened a can of all types of demonic crap that's going on in this country. All types. I don't know if anybody's listening to this podcast, because like I say, this platform really is not giving me the plays and the views that I am expecting. But whoever's listening to this, please go and vote. It's good versus evil. You have to pay attention to what we're dealing with. We have people that think totally different from everyone else. And they think the way they think is the way that we should all conform to. You're telling women that they cannot get an abortion. And if they get an abortion, they're going to go to jail. But then they don't want to give them insurance if they get pregnant or if they having complications and they want to get pregnant. IVF and all these other, you know, methods of getting pregnant. They don't want to cover that. So it's like, it's just really all over the place, to be honest. It's a mess. So that's something I wanted to talk about with the early voting, the midterm election. And if you're not familiar with what the midterm election is, it is the most important election. It is more important than the president. It is the election where you vote for Congress, the House, House of Representatives, your senators, your governors, your local officials, your mayors, your commissioners, your state representatives. All of those people are who you vote for, because these are the people that actually is running the country. The president doesn't run the country. The president will bring things to the House's attention, and then they vote it. They vote on it to say yes or no. So we need you guys to just get out and vote. That's basically what I'm saying. Now, I don't know if you all heard that Nancy Pelosi and her husband, let me get my notes, because I was dumb when I heard this, because I know they playing dirty now. They're playing really dirty, and it's getting bad. It's getting bad, and we got all these cult-like people out here that feel like they're the only ones should be living on this planet, and you know they wanna get rid of certain races or faith, people who practice different faith. They want to get rid. It's just really nonsense. I don't understand. And these are adults, you know. And then you're trying to train your children to grow up to be good people. And then you wonder why these kids are out of control. Hell, the parents are out of control. So, listen. A man who assaulted Pelosi's husband with a hammer was looking for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Somebody, some nut job, broke into their home and attacked Nancy Pelosi's husband. So this is what I found. Paul Pelosi, the husband of Nancy Pelosi, which is the House Speaker, was attacked with a hammer at the couple's home in San Francisco by a male assailant. This morning, this happened this morning, today is Friday, October 28th. Today is October 28th. The assailant who attacked Paul Pelosi was searching for a speaker. Was searching for the speaker. He was looking for Nancy. Because he wanted to attack and kill her. He didn't come in there to just hit her with a hammer and then leave. He was coming to kill this lady. So he confronted the husband, Paul. He confronted Paul and was shouting, "Where is Nancy? Where is Nancy?" Really? This man, 82 years old, was hospitalized, but is expected to make full recovery. Oh my gosh, this is just ridiculous. Now, the U.S. Capitol Police released a statement saying that they are assisting the FBI and the San Francisco police with a joint investigation into the break-in at the Pelosi residence in California. The statement provides further information on how law enforcement responded. That the special agents with the USCP's California field office quickly arrived on scene, while a team of investigators from the department's threat assessment section was simultaneously dispatched from the East Coast to assist the FBI and the San Francisco police with a joint investigation. I don't understand why these people don't have security. They should have security right now in these times with these people out here thinking that they supposed to go and kill them because they're being influenced to do this. So whoever Drew Hamill is, he's the spokesman for Nancy Pelosi. That's who he is. He said that the assailant is in custody and a motive is being investigated. The speaker was in Washington at the time of the attack. She wasn't even home. And her family are grateful to the first responders and medical professionals involved and request privacy at this time so that they can try and figure all of this out. We're going to get down to it. We're going to find out who this man is and who he represents. He entered the Pelosi residence through the back of the house, according to two sources familiar with the early details of the incident. While the speaker Pelosi was away, there would not have been a security detail at the residence, according to one source. But see, because she wasn't there, the security wasn't there, and that's not right. They should still have security for her family, not just for her. There may be video that U.S. Capitol Police and law enforcement can review, as there are security cameras at the home. President Joe Biden spoke with Speaker Pelosi. The White House said the president is praying for Paul Pelosi and for the Speaker Pelosi's whole family. This morning, he called Pelosi to express his support after this horrible attack. Okay? Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, this is what she said in her statement. He is also very glad that a full recovery is expected. The president continues to condemn all violence and asks that the family's desire for privacy be respected. Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell put in a tweet, and they need to stop letting them get on social media. All of them. They don't have time to be tweeting. He is horrified and disgusted by the reports that Pelosi was assaulted in his home. He's grateful to hear that Paul is on track to make a full recovery and that law enforcement, including our stellar Capitol Police, are on the case. This is what Mitch is saying. Anyway, I tell you, I keep telling everybody, we got to unite, because if we don't, we're going to be on a divided highway. The highway is going to go left, right, up, down, sideways, upside. We are going to destroy each other. We're going to destroy each other. We're going to destroy the planet. We are going to destroy life. We're just a mess. We got to do better. Now, my last thing I wanted to talk about is the music. I know I really wanted to talk about this after Kanye, but I wanted to jump into the election. When I mentioned that this whole Kanye thing and this Cotton Owens thing and anything and the Herschel Walker thing, all of this is just a distraction regarding us to vote. So that's why I started talking about Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi. So I wanted to talk about the music and what is happening with this music industry. And when I say music industry, I'm still going to piggyback off the whole Jewish faith community and who owns what and why they own what. And when there is a clip, I'm going to see if I can find this clip. Let me see if I can find the clip. Hold on. Let me see if I can find the clip. There's a clip with Kanye talking about the type of music that these record labels want them to write about, want them to put on their music so that they can sell it. And so he was saying the lyrics. And then there's a clip on that same, it goes to another clip on the same clip where they're at the Breakfast Club with Charlamagne asking this record exec, I don't know his name, I would have to pull it up and see what his name is, but there's this record exec who is of Jewish faith that was, he was at, Charlamagne was asking him why, you know, if Kanye's saying this, why would you want to support someone that makes music like that? The man got completely quiet. I mean, completely quiet. And then he tried to pull himself out this hole and say something about, he always said that he was looking for talent, but he says that, I guess, the numbers or other partners that's in this industry or that's with his label, they're looking for issues. They look for them to rap about issues. Well, the issues are not something that you want to rap about when you are a living around it every day. And then if it's something that's negative and it's something that you have done in your past where you've taken someone's life or you selling some type of dope or you selling some type of drug or you hating women or you hating men or you hating each other and you're constantly beefing with each other, at some point it is going to manifest. It is going to be a reality. It's already a reality, but why would you want to put that reality, that negative narrative on music when we don't realize our tongues are powerful? What we speak, we manifest. It's a mantra. It's a spell. So you speak it and then you put it out there and then you got your fans singing the song, singing the lyrics, and you're speaking these words every day and you are creating a spell which then becomes manifested. If you put out good music, 'cause I'm happy, if you will, like a moon without a sun, 'cause I'm happy. You singing this song every day and you start to feel happy, right? But if he's saying this is what that faith of owners in that music industry wants them to rap about, wants them to sing about, and hey, I totally agree because I'm from the music industry. That is why my career never made it, because I walked away from it because my genre or my style of music of rapping would be conscious rapping or would be motivation or would be uplifting music. Not so much as spiritual. When I won't say spiritual, it is spiritual. Not so much as gospel, but it is spiritual because it's giving you something to look forward to. It's giving you something to listen to because you may be in a dark place and you listen to my music and it'll bring you with some peace, love, and positivity. But that's not what they wanted from me. They wanted me to rap about a good dick is hard to find. Come on. They wanted me to rap about every part of my body. They wanted me to rap about saying the N-word over and over. That's one word I hate. I hate it. That word is a spell, and if we continue to use it, it's just going to drain us more and more. It's going to take our energy completely out. I don't like the word. It is a derogatory word that was used to degrade our ancestors until this day. That is what the word is used for. I don't care about, oh, we're taking the word back and only we know they can have the word. Just don't use it. I don't like it. So I'm still looking for the clip. I'm sorry. With that comment of Kanye making that point, I agree with him. I totally agree with what he was saying. But I think I found it. I think people don't get it. Here it is.
I'ma fuck your bitch. I'ma kill this nigga. I'ma fuck your bitch. I'ma kill this nigga. That's the real anti-Semitic shit that the Jewish people get paid off of.
Most dangerous thing that's facing our society.
Are you so why sign an artist that would promote that?
Because I already answered that question. You weren't paying attention. She asked
he was me paying attention.
Or issues. And I said talent. But I have to, I can't give up on people.
You know what I'm saying? That's hypocritical, though?
You're saying it's opportunistic.
Yeah.
I got people to feed. I got a business to run.
You're gonna make Dame Dash take this clip and call you a culture vulture.
Yep.
Now let me little Apple move. You know me on Apple right now? How many people wanna bet their house that content is not within the first three songs on Apple Rap Music?
Nobody.
So they're gonna have to take my life before they take my people. I'm a
right.
Your bitch. I'ma kill this nigga.
It's starting over, but I get what he's talking about. Like that industry, it does that. I'm telling you. And then what I have a problem with is when we have these black owned labels and we have these black owned distribution companies that also want that type of music. So if the black labels don't have a distribution, like a distribution in their label, then they have to seek distribution elsewhere. And then they tend to go to these other companies that are with that faith, and they owns these companies, so they do it. But to me, it's hand in hand. So we got to do better with our music, because this music nowadays, let me tell you, it started changing. When I started rapping back in 1982, rap was not talking about what it's talking about now. And even in the 90s and in the 2000s, rap was a form of poetry where you have the ability and the opportunity to express yourself with telling a story or a fantasy, taking you away from your everyday mess, your everyday issues. So you create this new life or world. You tell a story. It could either be funny, it could be comical, it could be dreaming. Like say with Will Smith. Everybody talk about Will Smith music is corny. So what? It worked. Then they have when the first rap group came out, Sugar Hill, when it was talking about I say the hip hop, hibby to the hibby, the hip hip, the hop, you don't stop, the rockin' to the bang bang boogie. Say, it's fun music. It was fun music. And then after them was Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. You know, all the rappers that came in that era, they were not talking about violence. They probably exaggerated the truth to say they drive this kind of car or they live in this house. But that's basically what the rap was about. It was expressing yourself of what you wanted to have or what you wanted to be. But it was never talking about bitches, hoes, niggas, kill that hoe, fuck that bitch, kiss my ass, die hoe, die bitch, eat my pussy, lick my ass, bleach my butt, eat the gross. It was none of that. None of that. And it's just, it just got, it's worse. It's very explicit now, because around, I want to say, when the 90s hit, that's when we started getting the gangster rap. That's when it started coming away from, you know, fighting the power and, you know, just more unity type music. It started dividing. We started getting on that divided highway, because that's when NWA came out. But they were talking more about, you know, the police, you know, with the brutality. But then their music started changing, and it was talking about, you know, the gangs and the killing and the this and the that. It was just horrible. Then when Tupac came out in the very beginning, Tupac was more positive, conscious, Brenda's Got a Baby, Keep Your Head Up, that kind of music. And then, of course, people start grabbing him, and then they start trying to get him to change his narrative, which he did. And then he got tied up with the wrong people, with those people who was tied up with the other people who were talking about. And then it's like, when you get so deep involved into it, you try to get out, and it's not, now you're marked. That's basically what Kanye is going through. It's just, he's a little all over the place, because one moment he want to talk about stuff like this, the next moment he want to talk about, you know, the black people, and then one moment he want to kiss Trumpy dump shoes and feet. It's like, I just need him to be more grounded. And like I say, I do understand what, you all probably don't understand what he's going through, and it's emotional. He actually has a trait of borderline personality disorder, but he has logic about the things that he's saying. It's just, he's like a puzzle that's tearing up, that don't have all the pieces together. So I do want us, as the Baptist Christian faith, or, you know, for America, but then we also have the Eurasia faith as well, because a lot of us are starting to, you know, go in that direction when it comes to our faith. But overall, you know who I'm talking about when I say Baptist Christian faith. We need to allow real talent in the music and stop creating issues to become talent. Stop creating these derogatory artists that really don't want to do it, and they're just doing it because they're trying to find a way out. They're trying to, you know, get financially stable. So if that means I have to do this until I get on my feet, then I'm going to do it. But then when they get on their feet, they can't change, because that means if they change their narrative, they're going to change their financial status. And then if they change the financial status, then that label is no longer going to represent you. So you'll never be able to change. Nowadays, it's super easy to make your own music. You can go and get your own Fruity Loops or whatever loops you use, whatever software you use, make your own beat, put it up on one of these, you know, music platforms, SoundCloud, Spotify, Sound, whatever. You guys have so many opportunities than we did back in the day. But back in the day, it wasn't what it is now. This music is destroying our people. It is killing our young men and women. And it is killing them either by suicide, it's killing them by overdose, or it's killing them by the streets. And that's not what music is about. Music is healing. It's supposed to heal you. It's supposed to take you from a dark place, not put you in a dark place. It is very healing. And so I'm just putting up some light and sending up a message to the universe and to our ancestors that hopefully we change this narrative of what we call music. And the next time I'm going to come on and I'm going to listen to the music before and to the music now. And I'm going to do it with men rappers back then in the 80s and the 90s and now. And then I'm going to do it with female rappers back then in the 80s, the 90s, and now. And then I'm also going to do it with R&B, because R&B is the same. The lyrics are horrible. R&B is about rhythm and blues, but the rhythm is the music, okay? It is the melody. It is the voice. But the blues is the lyrics. And so the blues doesn't necessarily have to mean vulgarity. It doesn't necessarily have to mean just negative connotations about everything that you're singing. It can be that you're so in love that you realize this is the person who you let go. Or how can I make this work with this man or woman? How can I get this person back? So it is a little catchy there, where it is R&B and it means rhythm and blues, but the blues doesn't necessarily have to mean you're gonna kill her because you saw her on the phone with somebody, and now you're gonna kill her and the man, or you're gonna take him to child support because he didn't eat your coochie. I don't know. I'm just saying these things, and this is not even the way I talk. It's just something I really need to stress, because I see this music industry is destroying our community. And I know that lady Cotton Owens, she's trying to dissect the music with this new artist. I think her name is Glorilla, something like that. And I saw a clip where she was trying to dissect her music. Not trying, she was. She was dissecting her music, and she was breaking down all the vulgar parts of the music. Not to say we need to do better as a community, but to put her on blast so that she can use that clip to her target audience. And her target audience doesn't look like her. So it's like she is using this young lady's music to show that, in other words, we complain about the things that go wrong in our community, but yet this is the type of music that we use, and this is the type of music that we put out. But it don't have to get put out, because these record labels don't have to put it out. They can have a standard too. They can say, well, nope, this is not the label. We don't do that type of music. We don't do that type of music. So I remember that era when Luke Skywalker here in Miami came out, and his music was just, it was vulgar too. It was pop that coochie, and hey, we want some P-U-S-S-Y, all kind of crazy stuff. It was horrible. And I remember trying to get with their label at one point, and that's how they wanted me to rap, and I just never could do it. That's not me. I need it that bad. I don't need success that bad to where I have to just say, here's my soul, give me the microphone and let me roll. No. I'm in my 50s now. So can you imagine? And then my son is 31. I don't have any grandbabies, but I got grandnieces, little nieces, nephews. Can you imagine if I was rapping like that, and at this time they're able to listen to that and say, oh my gosh, that was you, mom? Oh my gosh, that was you, auntie? Ew. Anyway, I think that's going to wrap it up for me. But in the end, I just want us to do better as a people. Unity is our threat. Unity is the threat. Unity is our strength. If we don't get that, it is not going to work. We're going to continue to be on the divided highway, and we're going to go left, right, up, down, in, out. We're just not going to get to the final destination. And we need to come up with a plan, and we need to stick with it. And that plan needs to be across America. It can't just be done in Florida. It can't just be done in New York or Georgia. It has to be in every black community. Whatever that blueprint is we come up with, we all have to be on the same page. I'll talk about some other things on my next show when it comes to our black young people. Maybe I think it's more like the millennials and the Gen Zs, and how we're seeing a change in who they are and who they will become as they get older if we don't get involved with our young people, because it is getting very bad. It's so bad to the point where they're so disrespectful, they have no respect for nobody, not even themselves. So that's another show. I'll definitely get into that. But I do want to thank you all for tuning in. If you are tuning in, I don't know who's listening to this, because like I say, Anchor, I don't know. You guys are not pushing my content, but you know, it is still my fault. I need to do more. But and I think every Friday I'll jump on here, because it seems to be a little easier for